This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
It's not a big deal. Let it wash all the bugs off my windshield. Cause you're showing me that in you I'm free. And you're still the refuge that I've just got to get to. And ooh, there's something about the way you sunshine's on my face. It's a love so true I can never get enough of you. This feeling can't be wrong. I'm about to get my worship on. Take me away. It's a beautiful day.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
So much, Ecola, for allowing us to be on the show again today. And it is a beautiful day. I love that song. I used to have another song in the beginning, and you know that for 4 years I had the same intro and the same exit, and I decided to change it up. You know why? Because we are not always in the same place, are we? You know, things are different. And so it's a beautiful day. And, you know, life is what you make it. You know what I mean? It's like we have to make a change and we have to, you know, just have the right attitude to be thankful and grateful. It is a beautiful day. And even if it's raining or it's storming, it's still a beautiful day. I love the rain. Man, we should bring the rain. We need to do some rain dances, you know. We need the rain. So we've just done some traveling and I went up. All up north, you know, in California, and just seeing the cattle grazing and nothing to graze on was very tragic, you know. I mean, they're so skinny, the cows, they're so skinny that I just don't even know how long, much longer they're going to be able to stand. So God, you know, God, please bring the rain. So do your rain dances, okay, so we can get some rain in here. And it washes everything off so clean and starts everything so fresh. It's so great. So, you know, we're going to talk again, if you're wondering what you're tuning into today, you know, is Wisdom for Crisis Times, Mike Murdoch, Master Keys for Success in Times of Change. Are you going through change? Did you just get done going through some change? Or are we always changing? I don't know about you, but I think we're always changing, or shouldn't we be? We need to be evolving. We need to be better than we were the day before. That's my motto anyway. I strive for excellence. I'm not perfect. Neither are you. But if we don't strive to be better than we were the day before, then what are we doing here? Seriously, think about it. And so we need to be learning. Let's not be complacent. There's a difference between complacency and contentment, isn't there? That's another show. I've already done that show, so I'm not going to go there again. But I'm going to tell you that I meet people all the time. And, you know, some of them are just moseying along and just, you know, whatever comes their way. And then there's other people that are going, no, I'm going to pick that apple that's high on the tree and I'm going to go after that. And I've got goals and I want to make them happen. And Lord, please guide me and help me make it happen. And he does do that if we ask him. So anyway, we're going through these wisdom keys from Mike Murdoch's book. And we are on previous shows. I've been going through the key numbers. And so we are now going to start with key number 33. And I can tell you that if you're tuning in and you don't know, you can go to podcasts for the last 4.5 years. And all you need to do is remember this. Sue Freeze, spelt like fries, oneword.com. Sue Freeze, spelt like fries, oneword.com. My son always laughs at me when I say that. He just thinks that's funny. But that's what you have to remember, because if you go on there and you click on there, you can go to podcasts. It's by subject matter. It's by guest, if I have a guest, and it's by date. So you're going to hear things that you really like, and maybe you know somebody that might need to hear it too. So if that happens, what you need to do is tell them to go to that website, and you can have them listen at their leisure. Isn't it nice that we can do that? You know, we can push rewind, we can, you know, grab things from before and see them again and hear them again. And information is just so easily accessible and it's just so great. There is no excuse anymore for us to stay the same, because information's coming at us all the time. Wisdom Key 33, whatever you have in your hand is what God will use to create your future. And I mentioned this in another show about Moses and his staff, because Jesus, God, used what was in his hand, used his staff. You know the story about, you know, the serpent and turning water into the wine, which is the first miracle. If you don't know, that's a trivia question. So remember that. What was the first miracle? It's when water was turned to wine. This is the most powerful wisdom key I have ever discovered. It's Mike Murdoch talking. You too can use it to unlock the door to the miracles you need in your life today. Expect. I love that word, expect. Expect good things to start happening to you. I have people that say to me, well, you shouldn't really expect anything. I'm like, what? When you push your foot on the brake pedal, do you not expect that pedal to stop the car? I hope so, or why are you bothering putting your foot on the brake? We have to expect that when the light goes red, that people are going to stop. So expectations are something that happens. Not understanding what the expectations are can be where problems start existing. Whether it's a relationship, there are expectations from both parties when you go into any relationship. Just know that, okay? You don't come in with no expectations. Everybody has this little checkoff list. They all have these expectations that whether they're verbal or not, they're there. And it's important when you're interviewing for a marriage spouse, when you're interviewing for an employee, you need to know what that expectation is on both sides. I'm just saying, that's from wisdom for me to you, is that you need to understand what the expectations are. So be clear and be honest. You know, they say that the average person, that the people should date for 2 years, minimum 2 years. Why? Because everybody can act a certain way for a certain period of time. Okay, we can put on a really good act for up to 2 years, and then the true self comes out. So, word from the wise, date for at least 2 years before you say I do. Okay, I'm just telling you. Now, moving on. Somebody needed to hear that. I don't know who. Now begin to look for ways to put the seed faith principle to work in your life, your family, your job, and the work of God. Start expecting extraordinary blessings to happen for you. Your harvest is closer than you may realize. That's good news, isn't it? Your harvest may be closer than you realize. Wisdom Key 34. When your seed leaves your hand, your harvest will leave the warehouse of heaven toward you. Are you getting that? Mike Murdoch, the author of this book that I'm quoting out of, wrote a song many years ago, and it's called I Started Living. I started living when I started giving to God. I'm going to read the words here. There are pages of life I truly regret, lost everything I had, stayed deep in debt. Then one day I happened to read in Malachi chapter 3 that my release would bring an increase for me. I started living when I started giving to God. I started living when I started giving to God. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. He's blessing me. I started living when I started giving to God. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. He's blessing me. I started living when I started giving to God. Soon I had some friends who had to criticize. Would you not receive what I believed? They failed to realize Jesus said, if you plant a seed, I'm going to make it grow. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, you're going to reap from every seed you sow. Something good is being scheduled for your life. Sow your way out of financial crisis and into a divine harvest. You can create your tomorrow today through seed faith. Seed faith, interesting thing. What do you have to give? Some of us have money. Some of us don't. Some of us have time. Some of us don't. We all have gifts that God has given us. Maybe there's a gift that you've been holding back on and you're not giving it. Maybe you need to give your gift. Interesting, isn't it? Chapter 4, Wisdom Keys for the Crisis of Divorce. This is going a whole nother, whew. Divorce is a wrenching time of crisis. Yes, it is. I'm just wondering out there how many listeners have suffered from divorce, whether it be your parents and you're being a child of a divorced family, or you personally have gone through a divorce. It is the tearing apart of two souls whose union has been honored by God as a marriage. The scars run deep. The heartache is indescribable. The memories are forever burned into the tormented minds of those who suffer it. Unfortunately, millions of people endure the crisis of divorce, but never extract the education it offers. The stigma leaves a stain. Even well-meaning ministers mistakenly label the divorced with those who commit rape, murder, theft, or even abortion. It seems the idea that many are victims of divorce has never even occurred to them. But divorce is real, and it is happening far, far too often to Christian families, as much if not more than secular. Theologians can argue, ministers may debate, I simply want to help you recover from this time of crisis. This is Mike Murdoch talking. I'm reading from a book that he wrote, Wisdom for Crisis Times. And you are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And thank you so much, San Diegans, for joining in and listening. And even up north, up in Santa Maria and San Luis Obispo, just thank you so much for listening. And you know what? I'd love to hear from you. And how you can do that is by connecting with me on the Sue Free, spelled like fries, one word, .com site. Okay, just go on there and you can connect with me. There is a little place where you put your name and, you know, your information. And then there's a place where you can put whatever you want to talk about. And nobody reads these but me. It goes directly to me. I read every single one and I respond to every single one. So please don't hesitate. I want to connect with you. You know, when I was first asked to do this show for almost 4.5 years ago, you know, I first of all said, what am I going to talk about? Right? I mean, I didn't know what I was going to talk about. But somehow the Lord knew that I had something to say, I guess. Because everything that has led up to my current age and status of wisdom, although I'm still learning, believe me, I'm just a child in this whole thing. But everything that I've learned, both good and bad, and believe me, I've been through many things. And just to give you an idea, I'm a child of a divorced family. I've been through two stepfathers, a father who I wasn't sure he was my father and wished I was a boy instead of a girl. He's in heaven, I think. Molested as a child, raped as an adult, had an abortion. And I'm telling you all this not for you to feel sorry for me, because I don't feel sorry for me at all. I feel that every single thing that has happened to me up to this point has been a learning experience, and I believe that it's giving me insight and emotional connection with others that might be going through things too. My father died of cancer. I was by his bedside and watched him dwindle. My mother died of heart issues. You know, so I've suffered loss. I've gone through divorce in the family and feeling like I didn't belong. Been through a lot of things. And I think that all of us have a story, and all of us have been through many, many, many things. And it's created us to, you know, our experiences have made us who we are today. But also our head has made us who we are today, because we have a decision to make on whether we're going to be a victim or we're going to be a conqueror. I have conquered. I am a conqueror. I am washed clean and white as snow, because Jesus said that. Because he sent his only begotten son in my place. And now I have God's grace. And I don't know where I would be without that. I truly don't know where I would be without that. And my courage, people say I have courage. My only courage is from him, not me. It's not me. It's God through me. That gives me the courage to go through and take another step. There was a time that I went down the Grand Canyon, and in my immature, ignorant state, I went to the bottom of it, and I was a dancer at the time, won a car on American Bandstand, side note. But I was dancing a lot, and I had very strong legs, and I was just determined, and I was invincible, I thought, at the time. And I went to the bottom with my dance partner. We walked. We were not prepared, didn't have the right anything, didn't even have water. And we walked all the way down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. Hello. And then we said, hey, let's go back up. So we went all the way down and back up in one day. Okay, really? Luckily, I was young and stupid. Sorry, but I was. But you know what I learned in that? Yeah, it wasn't very smart. But I also learned, because I am telling you, I had never been so doggone tired in all my life. I had never been so exhausted. I mean, tired is sleepy tired. Exhausted is when you don't know where you're going to get your next little muscle to work. You know, you can't even get, nothing wants to move anymore, okay? And you get to the point, I can't even describe the pain. And all I kept saying in my head, and this is the whole purpose of me telling you this, is in my head, I had to keep saying, Susie, one more step. And I took that step. And then I had to take a breath and I had to go one more step. I moved my other leg one more step. And I'm picturing me right now, because this is exactly how gruesome it was for me. And it was miles and miles straight uphill. One more step. One more step. But you know what I learned from that? I learned what I was made of. I learned what I could do. I learned that all I had to do sometimes is just take one more step. Just one more step. And then one more step. And then one more step. And, you know, hours later, guess what? I reached the top and there was grass up there and there was a water fountain. I was so happy. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And I'm so thankful that you've joined in today. And I am believing for you that something you hear today is going to do something that's going to trigger something to change something somehow. And you know what? You're not going to be the same. Because when the Lord gets in there and causes you to realize something, a light goes on and you have that aha moment, something happens. And it's an amazing time. And I've had so many aha moments, I can't even tell you. But they're so great, aren't they? So this is an encouraging time for you, okay? Maybe you just need to take one more step. Maybe that's where you're at. And maybe there's somebody else that needs you to take one more step for them. Now there's a thought. Maybe you need to pick your brother up, wash them off, give him a hug, give him a smile. Sometimes it's all it takes. So here we are talking about divorce because I know that it has affected so many people. The memories are forever burned into the tormented minds of those who suffer it. Unfortunately, millions of people endure the crisis of divorce but never extract the education it offers. The stigma leaves a stain. I know I've said that, but I just want to say it again. Even well-meaning ministers might label. And you know, you might be the part of the victim part. Not the cause, but maybe the victim. And I believe that it takes two in any relationship. But you know what? I haven't walked in your shoes, neither has the person next to you. But Jesus knows, right? He knows. So here's Mike Murdoch's experience. He's going to be open and vulnerable like I was just earlier, telling you about some of my story. And like I said, I'm not proud of anything. I'm not proud of anything that I chose to do or things that happened to me. But you know what I'm thankful for? That I've had the love, that I've had the encouragement surround me, and that I've had the Lord's grace to see me through. And now it's my option and my choice and what I'm going to do with all of that. I can dwell in it, or I can pick myself up and take one more step. And I can be there to help others take that one more step. And that's my goal. This Sue Free Show, when I was asked to do this and I said, what am I going to talk about? You know, I was trying to figure out, you know, well, what's the show going to be about? You know, what am I going to do here? And okay, Lord, all right, you told me to be prepared. You know, I heard that in a dream once, you know, God talking to me saying, be prepared. Prepared for what? But in the Bible, it says, be prepared with the word. Right? Be prepared. But he's saying also to be prepared. So I think that everything that's happened to me has prepared me for where I am right now. Wow. Everything that's happened to me has prepared me to be where I am right now. Talking to you. Right? It's pretty cool when you think about it. I think it's pretty neat. So here's Mike Murdoch. I was left emotionally devastated following the breakup of my 13 years of marriage. I could not believe it had really happened to me. I felt that I had no one to turn to for comfort, understanding, or direction. My closest friends could only shake their heads, shrug their shoulders, and mumble a few words, it will be all right in due time. Time heals all wounds. The loneliness was torturous. That is why I'm including this chapter. I know that you too may be carrying a volcano of pain within you. Your mind may be in shreds. You may want to die. Humiliation, fear, confusion, rejection, pain, and worst of all, helplessness. Total helplessness. And the few who seem to care really do not know what to do to help. I know I have been there. Your mind continues to replay again and again the memories of your past, like a visible growth on your face. Divorce is like a stigma that seems to never go away. You just cannot seem to shake it. You feel that everyone is talking about you, looking at you, and questioning your integrity. Wisdom Key 35, your struggle is proof. You have not yet been conquered. Probably nothing more painful will happen in your life than divorce. It may seem like the longest midnight of your lifetime. Here's some serious personal questions. You must honestly answer several questions before you can create a new future. Do you truly want to recover? Your recovery will be progressive, not necessarily instantaneous. Do you want to be totally healed? Time does not heal you. God heals you. If time heals, God is unnecessary. Sometimes God takes time, but it's still God. That's just my two bits that I'm putting in here. Do you want God to restore you into complete fellowship so you can learn to trust and lean on Him again for your future? Are you willing to release the bitterness, resentment, and hostility that might still linger within the crevices of your heart? Are you willing to forgive and release your former mate to God for His judgment, correction, and accountability? Because really, that's where it's at, isn't it? It's not yours, it's His. So let Him do His thing, okay? Let Him work on him or her. Are you willing to invest time and a little effort in rebuilding your future? If you need to hear these questions more than this, just go and listen to the podcast and stop and go and whatever you have to do, because I think these are really important questions. And they're so vital to your health and well-being for going forward, okay? We have to move forward. And sometimes it's just what? One step at a time. Just one more step. But sometimes we don't know where to take the step, right? So these questions are going to help you and guide you and keep you going, okay? I believe you are. Or you would not be reading or listening to the show right now. You are reaching, you're seeking, and you're listening. And God respects you for it. And you might be asking this question, why marriage anyway? And this is from him. My close friend, Pastor Randy Morrison, often says, if you don't understand the purpose of something, you will abuse it. Millions do not really grasp the purpose of marriage. Following my divorce, I experienced great bitterness, resentment. I hated being alone, but I also despised having a need for someone in my life. I wanted to be totally independent. I did not want to need someone else. I even questioned the benefits of marriage. In fact, I worked hard to sell myself on being single. I was determined that I would never hurt again. I would never trust again. I would never empty my life into another. I would never reveal my weaknesses to another. I would never lean on or permit the necessity of someone in my life again. I viewed those who appeared happily married as actual ignorant of the upcoming tragedy that would soon appear in their lives. Can you relate to anything I'm saying right now? Can you relate to what Mr. Mike Murdoch is putting down here on this book? I know that I can. I know that I've experienced this, and I know that I've seen so many people in so many ways. It's like, you know, grief. You know, when you are suffering loss, it's seven stages that you go through in loss. Yet I had to admit that marriage was God's idea, not Satan's, nor Adam's. God intended marriage to be a benefit, an asset to mankind. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him, Genesis 2:18. So God joined Adam and Eve, and the human race began. Marriage is two people becoming one in spirit, vision, and purpose. So I'm going to take a brief break right now, and we'll get back to this right after this brief break. Please stay tuned, because it only gets better. Hi, Sue Freeze, the Termite Lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy, Tyson, stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. One in eight children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreeze.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, E. coli gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives, like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. Microwave process for small areas, and their new E. coli Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. E. coli Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call E. coli at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. E. coli. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you so much, E. coli, for allowing us to be on this show. I am so grateful for E. coli. And you know what? If you need any pest service or termite control, you need to call E. coli, because E. coli has been around for over 30 years. I've been doing this for over 34 years, believe it or not. And, you know, I'm just here to tell you that I believe, and, there's other people that believe this too, E. coli is the best company. Why? Because we offer you all the choices. And, you know, choice is good, because we're not all the same, are we? We're not all the same, and we all have our own individual needs. So what E. coli does is we listen carefully, we do our professional inspection, and then we will sit with you, go over what all of the issues are, and find out what's going to work for you, and then tell you what it's going to cost, what your expectations will be, what our expectations are, what your expectations are, and everybody is good. So call E. coli today and get your service done. All right? Thanks. Shameless plug. Okay, so here we are, and we're talking about marriage, but we actually started with talking about divorce. But we got to talk about marriage, because without marriage, there wouldn't be divorce, right? So we're going to say that marriage is two people becoming one in spirit, vision, and purpose. You know, I wasn't taught that before I got married. I didn't grow up in church, and I didn't understand all of this. All right. And so there might be some people out there that don't understand that marriage is two people becoming one spirit, vision, and purpose. Because we each come with our own expectations, and we all have our own little thoughts in there of, you know, a house on the hill with a coupe de ville, white picket fence, you know, how many kids, it's just going to look like this, and it's going to be like this, and I'm Cinderella, and where's my glass slipper, or, you know, Peter Pants, and whatever it is, you know, but what is real? And what I realized way later in life, you know, many, many years, when my daughter asked me to go to a Bible study once with her. And they were talking about marriage. And they said that marriage is a ministry. I'd never heard that before. I'd never heard that marriage is a ministry. But really, you know, I know that being a parent, you're a role model, and your children are watching you. They're watching what you say, but they're also watching even more so. They're watching what you're doing, okay? Your actions are speaking louder than your words, right? And but I had never heard that marriage is a ministry. And it so is. And so you have to understand on the get-go, you need to understand going in, what is the ministry that you guys are about? What is your vision? What is your mission statement as a couple, right? Because a lot of your decisions, see, in my business, in my workplace, we spend a lot of time on the vision, the goals, the vision, and the mission statement. Because if we don't stay clear on the vision and the mission statement, sometimes we can get off course in work, in my company. I have to realize, I have to remember what we're about. And, personally in relationships, don't we have to know and remember what we're about? Because when decisions come our way, we need to know, is this in line with our mission statement? Is this in line with our ministry as a married couple? Because so many times I know, I worked in church, I served because I felt like that's what I needed to do because I wanted to, but I felt I was supposed to. And I didn't know how to say no. I just didn't know how to say no. And so I was doing so many things. And sometimes it was a sacrifice of my family because I was at church instead of maybe doing something with my family. And some of the things were in my gifts, and some of the things were because there was a need and I was just there to feel it. But maybe I wasn't the best person for that job. Maybe there was somebody better for that job. So where am I going with that? Where I'm going with that is that everybody needs to understand what they're about, what their gifts are, what their spiritual gifts are, what God created them for, their purpose in this earth. What are they created to do? And we have to stay focused and stay in line with that as we move forward in our future. And understand that when you're interviewing for your life partner, and it is an interview, and it should be no less than 2 years, thank you very much, but you should interview, because that's a very serious position, isn't it? On both sides. It's serious for the husband. It's serious for the wife. And not only do you need to find the right person, but you need to be the right person, right? So you got to check and balance that and understand the expectations of both parties and understand what the vision for that marriage is. What's the ministry? What's it going to look like? Because going forward, when you have your children and all these distractions that happen, they just do, you have to understand what the mission is. For instance, parents with young children. In the Bible, this is a side note, not even part of my deal here. But as a young parent, you know, your children, you know, they're always asking why? And, you know, you get kind of tired of hearing it, but it's important that we answer the whys, because that's part of coaching them and training them. And in the Bible, it says, train them up in the way they shall go, and they will not depart from it. Because our job as a parent, our mission statement, is to train them to be responsible, love God adults, right? So when we're making decisions for actions, consequences for actions that are contrary to what we want and what God wants, there needs to be consequences, and they have to match the crime, right? But we have to be ahead of it. We have to know what those consequences are going to be if it happens, because, you know, they happen. But you have to understand what the vision and the mission is, because if you're focused on this child, 5 years old, 8 years old, is going to grow up to be an adult, you want them to understand at a young age the principles, biblical principles, to where when they get older, they're not going to have to fight it. They're going to understand what it's like to be in a social setting. They're going to understand manners. They're going to understand what it's like to be in a setting where they might not get their way at school, at work. They're going to have to understand that seed and harvest. They're going to have to understand they have to work to get. They don't just ask. All the time, it's not about just asking and you get it without any sacrifice. Because, yeah, there's a seed in their harvest, and God says, you know, ask and you shall receive. But we understand as adults that you ask and it doesn't happen. Like, there is delayed gratification a lot of the times. And sometimes our children don't understand that. So somebody needed to hear that. So for you parents out there, I just encourage you, stay on the straight and narrow and understand that you have a very important job in parenting your children. And most importantly, you need to love your spouse and you need to respect your spouse and you need to show your children that. That it's very important that you are united in the parenting front. That it's very important that you don't negate each other. And that if you're going to have an argument, you do it healthy so that your children understand what it's like to have an argument, because you are going to disagree. It's not about disagreeing. It's how you handle the disagreement. Do you handle it in respect, with love? Do you look for the biblical principle to figure out what the truth is, where the truth is, and what you're going to do to go forward? This is what I'm talking about, is understanding the ministry in marriage, because you have children looking at you. You have people in the church looking at you. You have people that don't understand God and God's love and God's grace. And you might be the only representation of Jesus for those people. When you go to a restaurant, I got to ask you this. Do you have your phone in your hand, or are you talking to the person you're sitting next to? Ouch, right? Let's be present with those that we're with. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And I'm a little bit hard and I'm straightforward, aren't I? But you know what? These things are wisdom and it's learning lessons that I've learned. And then I'm just trying to, I don't know, maybe help you, save you from some pain down the future. You know, maybe this will help you in your marriage or your parenting. So that's good. So back to this show. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. And the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Mark 10:6-9. Marriage is to be a mutual benefit, an asset, an exchange, a blessing and favor. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Proverbs 18:22. Paul compared marriage to the union of Jesus Christ and the church. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus died for the church. So what I'm reading here is that you put your wife before yourself, because Jesus put us before him. He put the church before himself, and he sacrificed himself for it. Husbands, are you doing that? Are you putting your wives before yourselves? Now, it is both ways, right? I mean, we both should be doing that for one another. each of you should be putting the other person's needs and wants before your own. And I say that if both people are doing that, there would not be any argument. There would not be any problems if both people were not self-centered. If both people were servant, had a servant heart, and put the other person's needs before their own, there wouldn't be a problem. But that's not the way it is. Because we're selfish people, right? We are. I'm sorry, but we are. So let's try. Let's work hard at not being that way. Can we do that? Your marriage has one enemy, but many weapons. Whether you are married or divorced, you need to be reminded that your marriage was fought from the very beginning. Your only real enemy in marriage is Satan. His attack on your home and marriage is ultimately an attack on God, Jesus, and the church. You probably entered your marriage with joy, anticipating a lifetime of happiness together. Suddenly, unexpected things happened. Nature seemed to collide. Whether you realized it or not, your relationship was attacked from unseen outside satanic forces. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, 1 Peter 5:8. One of the greatest fears you may experience following divorce is remarriage and the possibility of a repeated failure. The thought can be devastating. That is why some people who remarry experience divorce again. They never discover the true enemy that unraveled their first marriage. Take a moment to review some possible problems and their source. Possible entry points or weapons Satan may use to attack your marriage. The devil is a thief, a robber. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, or more abundantly in my version, John 10:10. His attacks are not simply to destroy your marriage, but to sever your relationship with God, to discredit the integrity of God in your eyes and anyone else watching you. Wisdom Key 36, Satan is the source of all the pain you will experience during your lifetime. I'm just going to back up a minute because, you know, the devil is a thief and he is a robber. And he does come to steal, kill, and destroy. And sometimes we don't realize he's there and he doesn't come with a bang. You know, he's subtle. He's really subtle in his delivery. He's subtle in his thought processes. He's subtle in what he does. So we have to guard ourselves. We have to guard our minds. We have to make sure that those things that we look at, those things that we are listening to, even the things we eat, all of these things can cause attack. We need to make sure that we guard ourselves from head to toe with the full armor of God to protect ourselves from all of the attack that can come our way. And I can tell you that, you know, it's daily. It's a daily thing. And the bitterness or resentment or the unforgiveness or not dealing with things while they're small. I talk about that in the termite world. You know, I tell people all the time, when was your last termite inspection? And they'll say, oh, it was 10 years ago. And I said, well, you realize, you know, termites don't go away just because you put your head in the sand. They don't. They don't go away. They're continually eating. And sometimes people say, oh my gosh, I think they're holding hands. And if they let go, my house is going to fall down. Right? And I say that, you know, biblical principle is take care of things when they're small. So whether it's in personal life, in your relationships, if you've got an issue, deal with it. Don't go to sleep. What is it? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That's it. You know, and that's true. And sometimes I will tell you that sometimes I learned this from a counselor once because this was happening in my household. And the counselor said, you know, sometimes by the end of the day, you know, you don't see each other all day and you both have things going on and whatnot. And you come home and the husband comes home or whatever. And, you know, the only time you have to talk is right before bedtime. But, you know, that's not really the best time to have a long conversation, something that's deep and important and emotional, because you're not both in a rested, fed situation, and you're not going to bring the best you into the conversation, right? So what is okay to do out of respect and honor of each person's emotional state is you could ask, you know, how important is this from 1 to 10? That's one thing you can do just to get the level in which of importance for each person. The next thing you can do is say, look, I realize this is important and I realize you are important to me. But I am so tired that I'm not going to be able to devote the amount of attention and time that we're going to need for this. So I suggest that we table this until and give it a time and a day. And you better hold true to that day and time when you're going to repeat that, you're going to get back to this issue. That is so key, because sometimes people, you know, I can tell you're laughing right now because that might be you, right? You're saying, oh my gosh, that's so me. My husband's so tired, or I have been with the kids all day and the last thing I want to do is talk. I just want to lay my head down on the pillow and whatever. You know, so maybe it's not the best time, and that's okay. As long as you don't just table it forever and never deal with it. Because if you never deal with it, then the other person feels devalued. They feel unimportant. You know, like your issues don't matter, right? Well, that's not the way it is, really. I know that's not. But it can feel that way to the other person if you don't take importance, if you don't make it an important thing to understand that that person is your lifetime partner. And therefore, their demeanor, their emotional state, their thinking process, their spiritual state, their physical state, all, you have such an important impact on them. And you have to understand that. And if you're putting that other person before yourself, then obviously this would not be difficult at all, would it? It's when we take our own account and our own selfishness and put it before the other person's needs and wants is where we have the problem. So if that's you, just, you know, work on it, okay? It's a process. It's not going to change overnight. You're not going to be perfect overnight. You'll never be perfect. You don't have holes in your hands. I get that. But what you can do is work on it, okay? And if we're working on it, that's a good enough. And here's the other little key I'm going to give you, and this is from experience. If you have done something wrong, admit it and say you're sorry. How hard is that really, if you think about it? How hard is it to just say, you know what? You're right. I shouldn't have said that. Or I could have said that better. And I really apologize because I know that probably hurt you. Man, that would just make things so much better, wouldn't it? That would just be so much better. But we as children, sometimes we lived in dysfunctional families where maybe the parents didn't know how to do this. Maybe we don't have anything to base how we should do it. Because there is a healthy fight. You know, we can have an argument and be healthy about it. Because there is disagreement. It will happen. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station. KKLA 99.5. I just love KKLA. How about you? It's a great station. It just has so much to offer. I love the fish too. I'm just saying. I love them both. Okay, so we said Wisdom Keys 36. Satan is the source of all the pain you will experience during your lifetime. Satan constantly searches for weapons or entry points, a friendship sickness or finances, your marriage. That is why it is important for you to review the pieces of the puzzle to discern and to find the tragic thread that unravels the fabric of your life. What are some of the entry points Satan uses? The weapon of unwise friendships. You are who you hang with. I always tell my children that. They're grown now, but you know, even as adults, we choose our friends. Don't let them choose you. Friendships unravel and destroy or build and reinforce your vision and dream. Do your friends help reinforce your marriage with the presence of God and subconsciously motivate you to love your mate more than ever? Then they are probably beneficial to your marriage. Those are the people that you want to hang with. And it doesn't mean not be real, because, you know, all of us in marriage, we need to support one another. It means that you can be real and still love. But if the fragmented and frazzled marriages of your friends contain constant bickering and arguing, believe me, this will affect your own marriage when these friends are in your presence. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. That's Proverbs 13:20. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. 1 Corinthians 15:33. I'm loving this. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. You know, I just want to go back to something that I said earlier about taking care of things when they're small. You know, being married a long, long time, you know, you go through counseling. Hopefully, if you have issues, you go through counseling, and you don't have to wait even a year to go to counseling. I highly recommend, you know, whenever you have an issue, you need to address it. And it says to seek godly counsel in marriage. And we need to seek godly counsel no matter where we are in life. You know, it doesn't have to be only in marriage. It could be in anything that we're going through. We need to seek godly counsel. And whether that's a Christian friend that you have or somebody that you know is walking the walk and believing that God is the truth. You know, you can expose your vulnerability to these people because you know that they're wise because of their life. So with that, one of the things that was brought to our attention in going to counseling a long, long time ago was it's not the crisis things that push or pull marriages apart. It's the day-to-day things that have not been taken care of. And the visual that comes to mind is, you know, you're on top of a snow mountain and you have a little tiny snowball and it starts rolling downhill. And as it rolls, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger because it's gathering more and more and more as it goes down the hill. So in marriage, what happens, because you're with this person for a period of time and, you know, little things happen. And, you know, we say, I know I hear women say, it's just the little things that he does that mean so much to me. And as we get married, a lot of the times, you know, man, they conquered it and they said yes. And so then they're on to the next thing. I've heard that a lot, too, is that, you know, they want to conquer their quest. And then they're on to making a living, and then the kids come, and now I've got to make a bigger living so I can take care of more mouths to feed, and all of those things that get, you know, that start happening, and keeping that ministry in focus, and what is our vision and our mission statement, and staying true to that is so important. But those little things that aren't taken care of, you know, like something that was said last night that just didn't sit well, or it kind of just caused this little pain in my heart. Or, you know, she says something that's critical to him, and instead of making it to where she's letting him know that she still loves him, but there's something here that could be made better. You know, it could be something as simple as foul language. It's not simple, but maybe it is simple. You know, it's something that you definitely can curtail. It's something that, you know, you can bite your tongue instead of saying it out loud. You know, I mean, there is ways to take care of that. But when somebody has a request and you have the ability to do something about it, whatever the issues are on both sides, okay, but whatever it is, if both parties are really desiring to love and to respect and to build each other up, it's going to curtail a lot of those things. But here's the thing, if there is an injustice done or if feelings are hurt, those are the little things that if we don't address them quickly and fix them quickly by saying, I accept the responsibility, I'm sorry, then that builds that little snow, that little thing that's happening, that little ball that's going down the hill, and it gathers more and bigger and bigger and bigger. And the resentment builds, the bitterness builds, and then this hopelessness happens because none of these things are getting resolved. So then it's adding more and more and more. So take care of things when they're small is big. And it's so easy, really, if you think about it. And sometimes people don't like confrontation. Maybe that's you. Maybe you don't like confrontation, so you'd rather just stuff it than to express how you're feeling or what you're thinking. Maybe you're one of those kind of people that just would rather not confront. You'd rather just stuff. But you know what? You're the person that blows up in a volcano kind of thing when everything, like, happens. Then all of a sudden, all of those things that you stuffed, they come out. And it's much more difficult to deal with things at that time than to deal with them as they happen. So I say, let's just take care of things when they're small, address things one by one, one step at a time. And you know what? You're going to find that it's going to be easier. And it's a healthy way to disagree. It's a healthy way to deal with certain things. So let's try that and see if that works better. Can we do that? Okay. All right. So you know what? I've given you a lot of information. Mike Murdock, thank you for your book, Wisdom for Crisis Times, if you want to get the book. And I just want to say to you, I want to encourage you that if there's anything here that you'd like to share, please let people know about the podcast and Sue Free, spell like fries, one word. .com. And you know what? I'm looking forward to having you with me again next week. Please do this for me and connect with me on my email so that I can find out what you'd like to hear more about. Okay, maybe you have an issue. I'd like to address it. Can we do that together? I would like to be there for you. And I know Jesus is there with you all the time. So just ask, okay? God bless you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Sue Free Show, sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
It's that time of the year when Bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.